Hello and welcome to the podcast. This is episode 9. I am your host, Caleb Hardwick, and here with me are my brothers. This is my younger brother, Seth. How's it going?
Hi. Okay.
And of course, this is my older brother, Noah.
Hey.
So, all right, guys, what's been going on? What's new this week?
I had a couple quizzes in school.
How did that go?
I don't know yet. I haven't got the results back.
Do you think they went well?
I'm never sure on a Schultz quiz. Sometimes I'll think I'll do really, really bad, and then I'll do mediocre or even good. And sometimes I'll think I'll do good, and then I'll come back and barely scrape by with like a 72 or something. So
you gotta love that curve.
Yeah, the curve is pretty nice. I think I did pretty good in the environmental science. I should make an A on it.
I saw that you had some runts. That's exciting.
Oh, yeah. I finally found runts at Walmart. I mean, I guess they've had them before, but I just now realized that they had them.
Can I have a strawberry one?
They're all gone.
Yeah.
Caleb ate the last one.
That's not true. That's not true at all.
It was the last one that I was going to eat.
See, that's just not true.
See, he took one out of the box and ate it. And that one specific one that he ate, I was going to save it for last.
Whatever. Noah, what's new with you?
Well, speaking of food, someone took my Coke out of the refrigerator at work again.
Again?
How does this keep happening?
I mean, I had my name on it this time, so I mean, there's no excuse for it. So I did the best thing I could, and I went and got a roll of duct tape and wrapped my Coke can in duct tape before I stuck it in there and wrote my name on it this time.
Do you think that'll work?
No.
Well, I figure you're going to look pretty stupid walking around with a can covered in duct tape, so.
It would be kind of a giveaway.
Yeah.
You can't really hide that.
I mean, it was still there at lunch, but then again, it's a lot of times they're there at lunch, so I just have to keep trying it and see. But I did discover the one drawback is it is kind of hard to open when it's wrapped in duct tape.
So
you wrapped the whole thing in duct tape?
Oh, yeah.
Including the top?
Yeah.
Why?
Well, to make sure nobody would drink it.
Then how are you going to drink it?
Well, I ended up just pulling out my box cutter and cutting the top off. But
did you drink it through the duct tape?
No, I put a straw in it.
Oh, okay.
Well, I guess that kind of works.
Flawless plan, obviously. Oh, and I found a spider. And Brandon said that he killed a spider that looked just like it, like, yesterday. So either it had a twin or it's a zombie spider. I'm leaning towards zombie spider. What about you, Caleb? What have you done this week?
This week I've been working on some of the same stuff I have been working on. Mostly taking care of stuff here with laundry and with dishes and cleaning. But I've been trying to get some exercise, going for walks and going for runs. But other than that, not much. Let's see. This past Saturday, we went to the Saline River and kind of hung out there for a little while.
It was a new place we'd never been before.
Yeah, it was a new place we'd never been. What was it called? Fitzhugh?
Fitzhugh or something like that.
Fitzhugh Saline River Access near Finter?
Yes, between Traskwood and Poen.
And it was a fairly interesting little bend in the river. But I think it was a good thing that we went there instead of watching the Razorback game.
We even got to bring that up.
Yeah, we'll just pretend that didn't happen. Better luck next week. So we've also been watching the World Series. That's been interesting. It's
a lot more interesting than that Razorback game.
Yep, definitely. Like we agreed before, we're cheering for the Cleveland in this.
Woo! Yeah, I think I'm going to go dig out my Cleveland Indian shirt and put it on.
I think I have it.
Do you?
And I think it's covered in caulking from when I was caulking at Camp Barron.
Oh, maybe so.
Yep, sorry about that. It wasn't very good anyway. It was pretty worn out. It has holes in it.
By the time this podcast airs, Cleveland will have already won.
By the time this podcast airs, either one team or the other will have won, or
they'll still be playing.
Yeah. So either way, it'll be an interesting to see what's going on next Tuesday by the time this podcast airs. So, been watching baseball, been not watching the Razorbacks. We also got to do something pretty cool on Monday. Would you like to tell us a little bit about that, Seth?
Yeah. So I learned from a fellow Lego fanatic named Richard, me and this other guy, Richard. We like to build Lego trains, and so however it may have come about, I don't really remember, we learned that the Union Pacific 844, which is a really old, well, actually, it's the most recent steam engine they ever produced, but it's still like from the 50s.
I think I looked at it up. It was from the 1940s.
Oh, was it from the 40s?
It was like from 44, something
really?
Like that.
I thought it was a little bit newer than that.
Nope.
I thought it was like early 50s, like 52 or something.
Nope.
Okay. Well, good to know. Had been restored. Well, it had been restored for a while, but it had had some maintenance done to it, and it was coming through Little Rock, or more specifically, North Little Rock. And we drove up and met it in Jacksonville before it came into North Little Rock and saw it go by, and then...
That was interesting. It was good to actually get to see it run through there.
Yeah.
It wasn't going... I mean, it was going at a pretty good speed.
It was probably going about as fast as any train goes through there, really.
I didn't think it was going super fast, but it was going pretty fast for a steam engine. That was an interesting experience to actually see a steam engine move through there.
Yeah, I may never see that again, so...
And it's interesting... I thought the most interesting thing about it was actually the whistle. Like,
oh, I love that whistle.
The steam whistle sounds distinctively different from, like, this is a normal train whistle that you hear.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just a really cool sound. But anyway, go ahead.
So after we saw it go through Jacksonville, we raced it back over to the Union Pacific train yard there in North Little Rock and beat it and then watched it pull in there where it... stayed overnight before it went on its journey again.
There were a lot of people there to see it come in.
There were.
A lot of train heads. Is that the official term?
I have no idea.
Well, I don't know. Train enthusiasts? I don't know.
Could you call them trackies?
Trackies. That's good. But yeah, big crowd to show up, and then it pulled in. It was really cool when it was just coming in. There was another train coming from the other direction, and they kind of like met right in front of us. So
on separate
cool.
tracks, they didn't crash.
No, they didn't crash. And then it backed up, and we got to actually see it, and got to see it let off its steam. And when it was right in front of us, it blew that horn really loud a couple times, and it was pretty good. I really liked that. That
did you ever
fun.
Get any good sound bites off that?
I don't think I really did, no. If I do, I'll insert that sound right here. So yeah, that was pretty much the most exciting thing to happen to us this past week. So now you're caught up on pretty much everything that we've been doing. All right, so the other day, Noah brought up an interesting topic of something I'd never really thought about. He asked me about the parable Jesus teaches in Luke, I think it's chapter 16?
Correct.
Yes. And it's interesting because it's a parable that I admit I don't really know very well, nor am I sure I understand very well. Noah, would you like to explain how we even got started talking about this?
Yeah, I was at my neighborhood group, which is just a small group at church, and we were watching a DVD study with Andy Stanley, I think, and he was preaching on this parable, and I didn't recognize this parable, and I'm like, I'm going to have to go look that up and read more about it, because I didn't really understand it when he was preaching about it. I came home, and I told Caleb about, like, hey, do you remember this parable? And he didn't either, so I just thought it might be fun to talk about this parable that none of us seem to remember.
Right, and one thing we figured out is that anytime we have an interesting conversation, it's best to save it till the podcast. So in between then and now, I guess we've both been looking at it and trying to think what to say about it, because it is kind of confusing, and I'm not sure, honestly, I have heard a lot of people preach about it. So before we start talking about it, though, I guess we should explain to Seth what we're talking about.
Yeah, I was kind of about to say something, because, like, I really have no clue what you're talking about. Can y'all try and fill me in a little bit here?
Let's see if we can, like, dramatize it.
Can I just read it, and then we'll let's see if Seth can explain it.
There's two guys in this. There's the rich guy, and then there's the manager of his estate. What do we want to name the rich guy?
Richie.
Richard.
Richie the rich guy. Okay, fine. We'll call him Richie.
Richie Rich.
Richie Rich. Okay. And what do we call the manager of the estate?
Manly Man.
No, I don't think that's a name.
Estatus.
That sounds like a Latin name.
How about Roger?
Okay, fine. He'll be Roger. So we have Richie and Roger. Okay, so let's explain this. Can you read that but include the words Richie and Roger?
I can try.
All right, give it a shot.
And now it's time for Bible Stories with Noah.
Jesus told this story to his disciples. There was a man named Richie who had a manager named Roger handling his affairs. One day, a report came that Roger was wasting his employer's money. The employer named Richie called to him and said, "What's this I hear about you? Get your report in order because you are going to be fired, Roger." Roger thought to himself, "Now what? My boss has fired me, but I don't have the strength to dig ditches, and I'm too proud to beg. Ah, I know what I'll do to ensure that I have plenty of friends who will give me a home when I'm fired." So he invited each person who owed money to Richie to come and discuss the situation. He said to the first one, "How much do you owe him?" The man replied, "I owe 800 gallons of olive oil." So the manager told him, "Take the bill and quickly change it to 400 gallons. "How much do you owe the employer?" he asked the next man. "I owe him 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. "Here," Roger said, "take the bill and change it to 800 bushels. Richie had to admire the dishonest rascal for being so shrewd, and it is true that the children of this world are more shrewd in dealing with the world around them than the children of light. Here's the lesson. Use your worldly resources to benefit others and make friends. Then when your earthly possessions are gone, they will welcome you into an eternal home."
Okay, I'm really confused here. Can you give me another synopsis of what happened?
So, okay, there's this guy named Richie, and he's rich. And then there's this other guy that he's hired to manage his estate named Roger. Now, okay. Roger ends up being not very good at managing and does some things that apparently were rather foolish. Richie finds out about this and naturally isn't very happy.
So he fires Roger.
Yes. So Roger's like, "Oh man, now what am I going to do? How am I going to support myself and make a living?" And he goes, "Light bulb, I know what I'll do." So he gets all the people who owed Richie money and says to them, "Hey, I'm going to reduce the debt that you owe to Richie." And then for whatever reason, when Richie finds out about this, he's, I guess, kind of impressed.
That's kind of the way I understood it.
And so that's basically the end of the parable. And it's kind of confusing, like, because honestly, I'm not sure I understand that. And I'm definitely not sure I understand two things. Why did Roger reduce the debts? And secondly, why did that impress Richie?
Yeah, those are good questions. I think the first one's easier to answer. He reduced the debts so that the people who were in debt would be his friends.
I think you're probably right. I mean, that makes sense to me. Like, "Hey, I know how to make your debt smaller and you'll like me for it." And so that way, when he didn't have a job, maybe then they would still be his friends. Yeah?
Yeah, that's kind of what I got out of it.
Got that, Seth?
I think so.
Okay. And so the other question is, why was the manager, Richie, or I should say, why was the... Why was the rich guy Richie impressed that Roger did that?
That's a really puzzling part of the story to me.
And better, another question is, how do you end up 800 gallons in debt? 800 gallons of olive oil in debt. How did that even happen? I don't know.
And what did Jesus say at the end?
We hadn't really got to that yet, although he says several things, really.
Wait, which thing did he say in the part you read? He says, "Here's the lesson."
Okay, he says, "Use your worldly resources to make friends so that when they're gone, your friends will welcome you in an eternal home."
I don't understand how you get that lesson from that story.
Right, exactly.
I kind of understand now why this is not a parable we teach Sunday.
It's kind of confusing. So the NLT actually makes this a whole lot easier to understand than the other translations do, because they kind of choose different words. So the way the NLT does it, I can almost understand it, because it's kind of like paralleling this guy of saying, okay, you've had these resources available to you during your life and you mismanaged them. So what are you going to do now that your life's over? How are you going to, you know, what are you going to do now that you need a home? So I feel like it's kind of comparing it to what Jesus is saying here. You've got a certain amount of time on this earth and resources. What are you going to do so that when your time's up, you have friends that will give you a home? Comparing that to heaven, I guess, which is kind of weird because that's not at all how we think about heaven and salvation. But that's kind of the parallel I'm drawing between those two. It's comparing this guy who needs a home and friends to us who needs a home and friends in heaven.
Yeah, I still don't get it. When I was trying to look at some study notes on this, and I there were other, you know, alternative ideas about maybe how it should be interpreted. So, you know, I think it's one of those things we can conclude that maybe there's not a really good understanding of it.
I don't think that there's any consensus.
Yeah.
We can go with that. So I think maybe I read that they kind of just skip over. This is how you to interpret it and say, okay, let's just focus on what Jesus said we should get out of this instead.
Yeah. So instead of trying to break down the parable, let's just learn the lesson.
I was going to say, this is one of those parables that Jesus explains to us, thankfully. So
yeah, so I was going to say, Jesus doesn't explain a lot of his parables, so he must have realized we weren't smart enough to understand this one.
Yeah.
So what is the lesson? Straightforward, so I can understand it and teach it to my Sunday school people.
Well, Jesus actually goes on to elaborate on his explanation even further.
Oh, that's great.
You might remember these verses. They're a little bit more common than that parable. So let's see.
Which makes sense.
Okay, so he picks up after that what he just said about if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in large ones. But if you are dishonest in little things, you won't be honest with great responsibilities. And if you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with the riches of heaven? And if you are not faithful with other people's things, why should you be trusted with your own? No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and love the other, and you will be devoted to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money.
Huh. I've heard those verses a lot.
Yeah.
But I've never heard them in the context of the parable.
Yeah. Right, yeah.
I think the most interesting thing in that is when basically Jesus is saying worldly possessions and resources are equivalent to small things.
Well, that is the way it interpreted it in the NLT. I believe in the other translations, it said something like unrighteous things.
Unrighteous money.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which was really throwing me off, because I'm kind of glad the NLT doesn't translate it that way, because it would have made it really confusing to read. But it is kind of interesting that that's the literal translation of it.
So he's saying, if you take care of small things, i.e. the basically everything on earth, it's just weird to think that everything on earth is small in comparison to the things of heaven. Yeah. So that's one of the points I took away from it. What about y'all?
I'm still confused.
Well, there is still more.
Oh, there is?
Yeah.
Okay. Tell me more.
Okay. So, well, after Jesus said those things, the Pharisees who dearly loved their money heard all this and scoffed at him. Then he said to them, he being Jesus, "You like to appear righteous in public, but God knows your hearts. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God. Until John the Baptist, the law of Moses and the messages of the prophets were your guides. But now the good news of the kingdom of God is preached and everyone is eager to get in. But that doesn't mean that the law has lost its force. It is easier for heaven and earth to disappear than for the smallest point of God's law to be overturned. For example, a man who divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery. And anyone who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery."
Wow.
Okay. What does that mean?
Yeah, I honestly am having trouble tracking where Jesus is going with this. I think one thing that I haven't brought up now that I've gotten all the way through that is maybe the context of this story in the rest of Luke. Because if you go back one chapter in Luke, you've got all three of those parables about being lost, you know, you got the lost coin, the lost sheep, the lost son. And then you have this story about the servant, the unfaithful, dishonest servant or shrewd servant are the two different names for it.
Shrewd Roger.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But so if you think about that, I kind of wonder if maybe part of what the Pharisees were upset about was the end of that story about the prodigal son, because it is kind of pointed at the Pharisees.
Yeah.
So I don't know if these were, you know, taught in sequence or not, but if they were, maybe the Pharisees are kind of picking up that Jesus is still making fun of them.
Boy, this is thick stuff. So how do we end this with a so what, like Doug Wood?
Get out your Bible and read Luke 16 and then send us a message and tell us what it's about.
Please explain it to us because we cannot figure it out. Thank you. That is all.
I guess I would say I went back and read a lot out of Luke from from chapter 12-ish to 19-ish, from the time that he sends out the disciples and kind of starts that public ministry journey through there to the final week of his life. And he talks a whole lot about money, wealth, poor, because that was kind of the point of the Andy Stanley when he was doing it. He was saying, well, your money all belongs to God, and he gives you instructions about how you should use it on earth. You should use it for his kingdom. That was what his interpretation of the parable was.
Yeah, this is not a problem we're going to solve tonight. However, I do think we can basically wrap this up fairly well. Let's put it this way. Basically, I think the point is, you can't serve God and money, but you can serve God with your money.
That sounds very wise.
Sure, we'll go with that.
All right, so there you go. I have no idea if anybody has any thoughts on this or not, but if you do, feel free to send us your thoughts, your opinions, or whatever else you have to say to us online. Okay, so I'd quickly like to thank this week's sponsor, the Noah Audio Story Bible. Fall asleep every night listening to Noah's soothing voice as he reads the most obscure passages of the Bible.
The man replied, I owe 800 gallons of olive oil.
Now available at your local Lifeway or other Christian bookstore.
Before we end the podcast, I have to make an announcement for ARCLUG, which is Arkansas Legal Users Group. We are currently having a free giveaway on their Twitter page, which is at ArcLug, or on their Facebook page, which is facebook.com/ArcLug. And they're giving away a free Lego set. And all you got to do is follow them or like their page and then share or retweet their post. Yep. And you'll be entered into the drawing. And I think it runs through November 21st.
What Lego set is it?
It hasn't been disclosed yet, but it's approximately a $30 value.
Hey, that's not bad. Retweet something for a $30 value?
Yeah.
All right, that sounds pretty good. So, yeah, go to the ArcLug Twitter. What is the handle?
At ArcLug.
At ArcLug, ArcLug.
Yep.
And retweet something and win a prize. All right, sounds cool. Anything else we want to share before we wrap this episode up?
Can we go get ice cream? I want ice cream.
Some ice cream would be good.
Or some
however,
sherbet.
Get on it, Seth.
All right, so we'll go ahead and wrap this up so we can go about our ice cream eating business. I am Caleb Hardwick. Thank you for listening to this episode. And if you have any thoughts, go ahead and send them to us.
HardwickPodcast.com.
Or Facebook.com/HardwickPodcast.
Do you think we can get to where we all say it in unison?
All right, on the count of three. One, two, three.
HardwickPodcast.com or Facebook.com/HardwickPodcast.
We totally botched the second half.
Yeah, you know what?
It was your fault.
Bad. I know. I always want to say Hardwick.com/Facebook, but that's wrong.
We could actually set a subdomain so it would take us to their Facebook, and then we could say that.
That's true.
We could.
Anyway, We'll get to work on that. Thank you everybody for listening, and I think we're out of here.
Adios. Bye.
See you later.
This episode was edited by yours truly, Caleb Hardwick, and featured music by Bobby Prince. Until next time, thank you for listening.